Deuteronomy chapter 13. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give you a sign or a wonder, and notice this, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. So get the picture here. Miracles by themselves do not prove that something is of God. Miracles, experiences, should never be the benchmark of truth. Any experience, any vision, any miracle that doesn't validate a message consistent with Holy Scripture is not from God. And so God says in 3, you shall not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you. He tests you, in other words, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So your love for God is really tested when something feels good or looks good, but it contradicts the clear teaching of Scripture. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cling to him. Don't ever let anything entice you away from the Word of God. Don't try to justify something or rationalize something that you find some pleasure in or that appeals to you on some level. Just cling to the Word of God and hang on to the Lord. 5. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk in. So shall you put the evil away from the midst of you. The death penalty for a false prophet was exactly what they deserved. Because if that prophet's so-called lies were followed, the wrath of God would fall on all of Israel, and that would mean disaster for a whole lot of people, not just in this life, but eternal disaster as well. 6. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend, which is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known, you nor your fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, near to you, or far off from you, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Now it is one thing to slam the door on a temptation which comes from a stranger. That can be difficult enough. But these verses describe one of the toughest situations imaginable for someone who really loves the Lord, slamming the door shut on a temptation from somebody that you love. Maybe your wife, maybe your child, maybe your parent. 8. You shall not consent to him, nor hearken to him, neither shall your eye pity him, neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him. Doesn't matter how much you have loved or respected that person in the past, the door to that temptation must be slammed shut right in their face. And here's the tough part. What they have done or what they have tried to do cannot simply be brushed aside. They must be exposed like any other false teacher. And so it says in verse 8, you shall not consent to them. In other words, you shouldn't yield nor hearken to them. Neither shall your eye pity him. Neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So the tempted person was to report, was to expose and lead in the execution of the guilty party, even if that guilty party was a loved one. And there's a very important lesson here for us. We better have our loyalties and our priorities in biblical order. Way too much emphasis is placed on people-to-people relationships today instead of where it should be, that is, on our relationship and our responsibility to God. 10. And you shall stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and should do no more any such wickedness as this among you. And that was the purpose. Execute the sinner. Difficult? Yeah. Severe? Yes. But it would do the job. And by the way, this degree of commitment to God isn't anything unreasonable. Not in light of who God is. Not in light of what God has done for us. 12. If you shall hear say in one of your cities, which the Lord your God has given you to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, worthless men, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. And so the magnitude, the wide acceptance of this temptation makes it the most dangerous, I should say, of all. It's disgusting, it is nauseating to think that people who'd been given a city by God would turn around and use that city to serve false gods. But it is just as nauseating and just as disgustful for us to take something that God has given us, whether it's a television or a computer, and then turn around and use it not for something good, but something that is detestable in his sight, that is nauseating, that is disgusting. And it is wrong to do something like that, and it is wrong to tolerate something like that. 14. Then shall you inquire and make search and ask diligently. Stop there for a second. The punishment for this sin would be drastic, so it called for a very careful investigation. And there's a principle here. Anytime you're going to accuse someone, you better have more than conjecture to go on. You better have more than hearsay to go on. Verse 14. Then shall you inquire and make search and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such an abomination is wrought among you, you shall surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. God has said, when you enter Canaan, you thoroughly destroy the cities and everything and everyone in them. And here God says, you do the same with any of your cities that go after other gods. He is no respecter of persons. The issue is they're gone after other gods. No preferential treatment just because they happen to have Hebrew blood flowing through their vein. No preferential treatment just because they happen to profess to be Christians. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Now, if there's repentance today, there should be forgiveness and restoration. 16. And you shall gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof, every whit for the Lord your God, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. They were to destroy all the plunder, all the valuables for the Lord their God. See, this wasn't a mission to conquer for personal gain. They were not to get any kind of personal gain out of this sort of thing. This was about defending the sacredness of God. So there was to be absolutely no material or financial kickbacks for the Israelites for doing this. 17. And there shall cling nothing of the cursed thing to your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy and have compassion upon you and multiply you as he has sworn to your fathers, when you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments, which I command you this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. This sort of retribution would be tough, and it would be distasteful for anyone to do something like this. There's no pleasure in this. Just like judgment is called God's strange work, he takes no pleasure, the Bible says, in the death of the wicked. He would much rather have people repent, but it has to be done to purify the nation so God could bless them again. Taking these drastic measures to stop sin would be painful, but the alternative would be a lot worse in the long run.